guys, and welcome to another episode of Soundography. Soundography is a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And today it's Genre Day. It's our every season we do one episode that is specifically about a genre as opposed to an artist. I guess specific is not the word I should use there because it's not specifically about an artist, but about a genre. And for this one, we're going back to 70s, early 80s, and the new wave of British heavy metal, or as all the kids are calling it, the NWOBHM.
You know, when you search for that online, you have to make sure you get past the NWO. You get a lot of wrestling stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. And and make sure you have an H between the BM.
Yes.
Otherwise, you get a lot of other results that way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is a category that I think you're introducing me to coming into this, and not necessarily the bands, because I actually knew a few of these bands, but the term and the fact that it's a subgenre of heavy metal.
Well, we covered two bands already that fall within the parameters of these, with Iron Maiden.
Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny because I didn't want to just dip into the well for songs for my playlist from those two guys, because I really like those guys. I like Iron Maiden a lot more than I thought I would. And of course, I've always liked Def Leppard, but I wanted to be very, you know, stick to, well, I can't even say that because I pulled in a Blue Oyster Cult track. You know what? We'll get to that. We'll get to the playlist talk. But yeah, you're right. Two of the artists that we've covered fit into that category, and I almost feel like they're the ones that they almost don't belong in the category because they've been successful, and 95% of the rest of the new wave of British heavy metal are bands like Avenger and Warfare, Jaguar.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing that is so fun about this is it's kind of one of those episodes that we're going to cover in kind of one fell swoop, a bunch of bands that I kind of actually like because of their cheesiness and their weirdness that we'd never cover any other way.
Yeah, for sure. I'm 100% with you. And I think I'm glad of that too. I've got to be grateful for that. But it's almost like I want to play a game. Is this a band from the new wave of British heavy metal or an American Gladiator? Samson.
Oh, gosh, that's funny.
Blitzkrieg. Raven.
Okay, so before we get too far into any of this.
Yes.
I've got so much I want to say, but let's just start with the notes and we'll throw in what our observations were as we go.
Okay. All right, sounds good. So starting with the notes, the new wave of British heavy metal, NWOBHM, was a musical movement that started in the United Kingdom in the late 1970s and achieved international attention by the early 1980s. Journalist Jeff Barton coined the term in a May 1979 issue, Sounds, to describe the new heavy metal bands in the middle late 70s during the period of punk rock's decline and the dominance of new wave music. The bands used the proto-metal bands of the 70s and added the intensity of punk to produce fast and aggressive songs.
So by proto-metal, we're talking Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple, those kind of guys that found the tritones, that found that sludginess, that found that heaviness, and started popularizing and using it. But these kids came in and were like, hey, we're going to throw in a whole bunch of punk rock. And it sped up and it got super aggressive and people didn't know what to make of it because it was unlike anything that was being played anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. It's like, obviously now these days we talk about those bands, Sabbath and Zeppelin and stuff like that, as classic rock. You know, I don't think we call those heavy metal just because so many different things came between then and now that have gotten labeled as heavy metal that we just don't associate Zeppelin and Black Sabbath. Maybe in some record stores they still have them under heavy metal. But now when I hear heavy metal, I think Metallica, I think of Motorhead, I think of Megadeth, I think of Judas Priest, stuff like that.
And it's funny, two of those bands you named are actually part of this new wave of British heavy metal with Motorhead and Judas Priest.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. All right. Well, maybe then I need to adjust my definition then. But yeah, you take Led Zeppelin, or more appropriate Black Sabbath, and speed up the tempo of everything, and you've got new wave of British heavy metal. Uh-huh. You've got something that fits in this category. And it is interesting. Never thought about it being a punk influence, but it totally makes sense.
Yeah. And you have to add in a whole bunch of unaware, ego-driven silliness.
Yes. Oh, we're going to get to that because, yeah, there's two words that you're going to hear a lot of in my playlist. And we'll get to that. All right. So there was also a DIY attitude to the movement that led to raw sounding and self-produced recordings.
And this also led to a huge range in recording quality. There are songs that are absolute classics that sound like mm-hmm. they were recorded in dude's bedroom on a, you know, one of those bring home
realistic Radio Shack. Yeah.
The office flat tape recorders.
Right. Right.
And
yeah, too many of them.
Much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was there were a lot that sound like there were coffee can recordings. there's a major compression that's happening with some of the sounds in these, and it's really in some cases kind of distracting, but it's a little difficult to listen to in some of these. It's like, oh man, I just want some variation in the levels of the things that I'm hearing, because it sounds like it's put the drums at 7, then put the vocals at 7, then put the guitars at 7, then put the bass at 7.
And, they were all going to 10. They weren't stopping.
Yeah, that's true. There was no 7. Yeah. Who am I kidding? This sound quality, by the way, also led to a rapid increase in the number of independent record labels. Song lyrics were usually about escapist themes such as mythology, fantasy, horror, and the rock lifestyle. It started as an underground movement that was largely ignored by mainstream press. The audience and bands were made of young, middle-class males and working-class fans who had been hit by a reality of a recession in the early 70s. And the new wave of British heavy metal was criticized for the excessive hype generated by local media in favor of talentless, quote-unquote, talentless musicians. However, it generated a renewed interest in heavy metal music. At its peak, it spawned perhaps more than 1,000 bands, but only a few survived MTV and hair metal in the mid to late 80s, some of those that I talked about.
And the reason that they didn't survive is most of them, frankly, were ugly.
Really? Is that the deal? Is that MTV's not video friendly? Yeah, right.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you had Raven, who I like Raven. Raven's a great band. Sure. But you have one of them dressed up like some sort of homeless lacrosse player.
Yeah, totally true. Well, let's talk about some of those. The survivors became the leaders in the genre. Iron Maiden, as we mentioned, Def Leppard. Others included Motorhead, Saxon, Diamond Head, and Venom. Although they were underground, they were heavily influential on the birth of thrash metal and extreme metal in the late 80s and early 90s.
So as Saxon is still around, and in 2003 they actually released a cover of Court of the Crimson King on their album Killing Ground just recently, you know, not that long ago. And it's a great cover of it. And I still kind of like Saxon.
The blaze is June, the choir's softly sing. Three lullabies in an ancient tongue in the Court of the Crimson King.
Yeah, I liked some of the Saxon stuff that I heard. None of it made it on my playlist, but they were one of the you know what? One of the things that I liked about Saxon was just the recording quality. It was so much better than some of these other ones. Mm-hmm. And if I don't ever have to hear Am I Evil by Diamond Head again, because it seems like every compilation includes that.
Again, again, and I brought this up when we were texting back and forth. The reason it is, it's the one that is probably the most famous because Metallica covered
Metallica.
It and yeah, right. made it their own, and then everyone rediscovered Diamond Head afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. Totally makes sense. Bands from the new wave of British heavy metal reunited in the 2000s and remained active through live performances and new studio albums. You know, you sent me that website. Can't remember what Heavy Petting, is that what it was called?
Yeah, no, that was just one of the bands that was there. It was actually the most, what was it, most influential? Where is it?
Yeah, it's a website.
Oh, it's just called New Wave of British Heavy Metal.com.
There we go. New Wave of British Heavy Metal.com.
It's called New Wave of British Heavy Metal Encyclopedia.
There you go.
NWOBHM.com.
And in addition to having entries for all of the bands that we're talking about on the show, it also tells you who's still playing live. And like Girls School and I think Raven might have been another one. A lot of these bands still performing and still have an audience. And I think there was even like some sort of festival coming up with like five or six of these guys coming up. And it's like, well, wow.
And it's still relevant. A guy named Martin Popoff, who does, you know, books about, he's kind of legendary for doing books about heavy metal and heavy metal artists, just released a 2-part series about the new wave of British heavy metal. And it's awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I probably won't read that, but it's really cool to know it's out there.
I did for us, so we're good.
Thank you, Hammond. It took one for the team. In the early 70s, bands like Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Deep Purple had worldwide success. However, they all struggled as time progressed. Led Zeppelin had some personal tragedy. Sabbath fired Ozzy Osbourne, of course, and Deep Purple broke up. This caused a loss of momentum in the genre. But along came Queen, Hawkwind, Bad Company, and Nazareth. Also, Judas Priest and UFO rose to prominence. And then you had bands like Kiss, Blue Oyster Cult, AC/DC, and Rush that all filled the void left by those early proto-metal bands. Back in England in 1975, Motorhead was formed by Lemmy Kilmister. He had been in the band Hawkwind. Lemmy himself said, quote, should I do it in the British voice?
Sure.
The NWOBHM. Didn't do us much good, because that's what I imagine his voice to be like. Didn't do much good because Motorhead, quote, came along a bit too early for it. NWOBHM was, should we say NWOBHM?
Sure.
No, we're going to say NWOBHM.
No, NWOBHM is actually an accepted term.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. NWOBHM was a fiction, really, an invention of Jeff Barton and Sounds. It was a cunning ruse to boost circulation. Having said that, it did represent a lot of bands that were utterly ignored by the mainstream media. Because of that, it became real and people got behind it. And that was said by Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden. Many of these new bands infused classic heavy metal with the immediacy of pub rock and the intensity of punk rock, implementing to various elements the crossover that was started by Motorhead. They shunned ballads, de-emphasized harmonies, and wrote shorter songs with fast tempos and aggressive sounds with vocals ranging from high-pitched wails to gruff and low growls.
I think one of the best examples of this is early Merciful Fate and even current Merciful Fate. I mean, Merciful Fate, they can get you sounding with super high-pitched stuff and low-pitched and growly and scary and... I forgot how much of a fan of Merciful Fate I was until this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Or this week.
They didn't stick out to me. I'm looking to see if I had any notes about Merciful Fate, and I didn't, but I'm going to have to
you shouldn't
look back. Yeah. Well, I'm sure I heard them on one of these, but I should have had notes about it. Yes. Is that what you're saying? Uh-huh. Okay, fine. Other bands took from progressive rock and blues and were more melodic. You know, we talked about jumping back to that last thing, talking about punk rock and combining that with heavy metal. Totally hear that, obviously. It's the sped up guitars, sped up drums, tempo, but pub rock being listed in here. And I think of pub rock as stuff like, I don't know, the Kink, Squeeze, Elvis Costello, like the stuff that was in the UK in the late 70s, early 80s, that was pub rock, were bands like that. And it's funny, I would not have considered that an influence or part of the style of Nwabum.
But I see it because of the whole kind of, we're going to put some fellows together and do something, that kind of DIY, back to this do it ourselves kind of thing.
Okay.
That get up and play regardless.
So maybe not necessarily the sound, but the certainly mentality. And you know what? I'd even say the production, because there are some really flat sounding Nick Lowe and Dave Edmonds and Paul Carrick stuff.
Yeah.
Metal magazines were born in support of the new form of music and helped spread awareness.
So,
like which ones?
So, Kerrang was in the UK. Circus and Hit Parader were in the US. Metal Hammer was in Germany. And then there was another UK magazine called Metal Forces.
I think that would be, if the German one would be Metal Hammer. When Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast hit charts worldwide, Nwabum entered the mainstream. And then Def Leppard worked its way to number two with Pyromania, just behind Michael Jackson's Thriller. By the mid-80s, the MTV Age of Glam Metal had pushed many of the early Nwabum bands out. Many of these bands could not and did not want to compete with those image-aware bands.
Yeah, so...
Go ahead, you say it. You wrote it, you say it.
So bands like Split Beaver and Bitches Sin were a couple of bands lost by the wayside.
Split Beaver. I think actually I had a few favorite songs, but I think Split Beaver was my favorite of the band names. Split Beaver. And there I checked. There is not an American gladiator named Split Beaver. Really disappointed in that, actually. The show might still be on the air. There's an American gladiator named Split Beaver. Power and thrash metal were born out of Nwabum, and bands like Helloween, Savatage, Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax all owe much of their sound to the movement.
So Saxon indirectly played a huge role in the formation of Metallica. And the way that happened is, actually, I just finished a book by Brian Slagle, who formed Metal Blade Records, like just this last week. And he was at a concert and he saw a snot-nosed kid wearing a Saxon shirt. And he walked up to him and said, "Hey, you know Saxon?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm wearing their shirt." He goes, "Well, I'm thinking about putting together a metal compilation album." And the kid says, "Well, if I can get a band together, will you hold a spot for me?" He says, "Yeah." So he goes to his friend, James, and says, I've got a guy holding a spot for me on this metal compilation called Metal Massacre. So they got together and recorded Hit the Lights and got it to him at the last possible minute. And so the first recording of Metallica was on Metal Blade's Metal Massacre album.
Wow.
And
was the kid in the shirt Lars? Yeah, or
it was Lars.
Kirk. Okay.
Yeah. And if he had not said, "I'm going to hold the spot for him," he never would have gotten back a hold of James, because they had met once and things just didn't quite go the way they were supposed to go. But with this thing, they did. And I mean, it was so rushed and so like such a last minute job that Metallica actually has two T's in it in the original pressing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be collector's item.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's a great book. And if anyone's interested in like the history of Metal Blade and the metal genre here in the US, it's a great book to get.
So bands like Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, are they considered then thrash metal or power metal?
They are thrash. Savatage is power, Helloween is power, but Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, they're all part of the original four, the big four of thrash.
Gotcha. See, that's what I need to do then, is learn the, because those are bands I would have said, "Oh, okay, those are what I considered to be heavy metal," but really those are thrash metal, and I need to consider them separately.
Well, and here's the funny part, is Savatage grew up and turned into something else. Do you know what that is?
No.
The Trans-Siberian Christmas Orchestra.
Get out of here. That's Savatage? Uh-huh.
They grew up and turned into the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Oh, that's nuts. Huh. All right. I had no idea.
In fact, their big hit, that cover of Carol of the Bells.
Yeah, yeah.
That's on an album called, let's see, it's called Sarajevo 12-20-24. And it's on.
Well, you say that, you know, thinking about the speed, you know, that sound that they've got. It's like, oh, totally makes sense. It absolutely makes sense.
Oh, Dead Winter Dead, duh.
Dead Winter Dead?
Uh-huh.
Well.
And the whole thing was about traveling through Sarajevo after some war. It was actually kind of a cool album.
Okay. Wow. That's cool. All right. I got to listen to them again with that, with all that in mind. That's really cool. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yep.
All right. Well, other than those facts, give us some statistics and general notes, Hammond.
So I just kind of put together a list of other bands that were part of this, and we've mentioned a lot of them. And of course, there's Split Beaver and Bitches Thin. But there's also Alcatraz. And for a while, you know, they had Yngwie Malmsteen as a guitar player. They've also had Steve Vai as a guitar player. There's Angel Witch, Battle Zone, Bleak House, Cloven Hoof, Demon, my favorite, Dumpy's Rusty Nuts.
Yeah, Ethel Frog, a close second favorite right there.
Grim Reaper, Haze, Jaguar, Nightwing, Rogue Male, which is, I guess, would be sponsoring Brian Brushwood's show.
Yeah, I think so.
Satan, Starfighters, Thunderstruck, and Wrathchild. And there are going to be some others that come up in our list, but... You know, it's kind of hard to list them all because there were lots and lots of them. And finding them is hard now, especially. Mm-hmm. But finding ones that aren't grating because of the sound quality or because of the vocal quality or because of the way it's mixed or whatever is also kind of hard. So finding the ones that stick out and the ones that are actually kind of have an impact, not just on music, but personally, is also kind of a quest. And every now and then I get a wild hair and go digging through a bunch of different new wave of British heavy metal bands, and I find some and keep some. You know, it's part of the hunt is fun. So
yeah, then that is the tough part, though. I mean, searching for it all is great, but coming across ones that sound like they were recorded in a styrofoam cup cooler. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to, we don't really have a Stairway to Heaven song section or who we'd like them to cover. Although I bet, you know, any of the things that we've mentioned on previous shows would be great cover material. Like, you know, one of these bands doing Rebecca Black's Friday or Cat Stevens Wild World or something like that. It would be great.
Or having any of them cover anything by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Yes. Bring it on. Absolutely. Right, so let's get to our playlists, and we were a lot looser with this one. You went over, I went under, because, you know, I'll say this, it's not my style of music. I found a few things that I really liked in it, and the things that I liked, I really, really liked, but yeah, there was some... there was some sludge that I had to trod my way through.
I'm actually really glad that you gave this a fair shake.
Oh, I totally did. Yeah.
And I'm glad that you found things you did like. Mm-hmm. I think the show has helped both of us grow as people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is stuff that I normally would not have ever listened to. So, yeah, I'm super thankful for Soundography for basically saying, all right, now you've got a reason to listen to Nwabum. All right, let's get to my favorites.
You have to get, download, and enjoy the Anti-Nowhere League.
You know what? I need to, especially this one here, this one song. Because I'm guessing this is not on Spotify.
It is, actually.
Is it really? Okay. All right, we'll get to that in a second. My first one, actually, I think my first one might be my favorite of all of these because I feel like it exemplifies the genre and also is the first instance of what I can only describe as this is Spinal Tap. The song is Firebird, and it's by a band called Twisted Ace. And basically the lyrics are about how his Trans Am, his Pontiac Trans Am Firebird is just so kick ass, and it can beat any other car on the road. And this this one got multiple plays in my car. And I won't lie, well, during one of those, I think I might have changed the lyrics from Firebird to Kia Soul because it's got the same number of syllables. But it's got you can almost hear Michael McKean singing this. And you know what? That kind of brings up a question. I thought Spinal Tap was inspired by hair metal bands. I think there was way more influence of new wave of British heavy metal.
Oh, yeah.
To most definitely. Spinal Tap than the ones.
Everything about them is poking fun at exactly this genre.
Absolutely.
Think about when Spinal Tap came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was early 80s, yeah. So it had been before we had bands like Poison and Def Leppard becoming prominent and things like that. So, yeah, for sure. It's a perfect parody of this sort of thing, right down to the English black letter logos.
Well, and when you actually think about it, it's actually less parody than almost satire because these guys, I think, were parodies of themselves in some ways.
Yeah, I think so. Even kind of an homage to these guys, Spinal Tap is. The second one is Astronomy by Blue Oyster Cult. Once I heard that this was part of New Wave of British Heavy Metal, I was like, oh, well, this one has to go on my list because this is my favorite Blue Oyster Cult song. More than Don't Fear the Reaper, people. Surprise, surprise. I love Astronomy. And it's too bad that it doesn't get more attention. Don't Fear the Reaper, obviously, gets all the attention. Godzilla gets some of the attention, but Astronomy is such a forgotten classic Blue Oyster Cult tune.
Not totally forgotten. Metallica covered it, and they did a damn fine job with it.
They did. They absolutely did. Next one is So What by the Anti-Nowhere League, and we talked about that.
So before you start, I will tell you, I will not put a clip of this song in the show because I don't think I could.
I don't think there's a clean 10 seconds of this song that you could play. The lyrics of this thing are just amazing. There's something else. And whatever I liked and didn't like from this week, the So What by the Anti-Nowhere League is going to be right up there near the top of my list. So good.
And again, Metallica's cover of this is really something to behold. It actually is the song that James blew his voice out on while recording the Black Album and then had to take some time off and go actually learn how to do vocal warm-ups and actually learn how to sing because of that song. Wow.
Crazy. Fourth one is Sahara by the band Nightwing. I was really close to picking their song Next Saturday because it was such a very different thing. Like, what are you doing next Saturday? Let's go out next Saturday. It's like such a weird, a weird song for this, genre. But then I heard this and I happened to be playing World of Warcraft while I was listening to this album. Sahara was coming on while I was walking through this desert area called Voldoon, and it was just perfect. It was like, oh, this is like, I like this a lot. It's almost like cashmere light or decaffeinated cashmere. Doesn't quite have the magnificence and power of Kashmir. It's kind of like It's kind of like crab with a K to crab with a C.
Now, I actually really like Nightwing. I have been a fan of them for ages and own a lot of their stuff. Like, I went and found because I really like them.
Yeah, so you had lent me borrow the Nightwing 79 through 86 anthology, which like basically has those six albums, the best of those six albums from that time period. And the later it got in that album, the more and more I liked it. And I think it was a lot of it was due to the production, just the thin sound of the early production, but then also just kind of the depth of the music on a non-technical level, I thought was really good as we got through it further and further through it.
Yep.
So I really liked it. Fox on the Run by Girl School got a couple of covers in my list, of course. It took listening to this stuff to realize that Girl School is a Nwabum band. I was like, what? They're a Nwabum band? Cool. Which is great because I love this cover. And a cover of a song by Sweet, Fox on the Run. And was so happy to hear that I could use this one for this.
Yay!
And then speaking of covers, The Wanderer, covering Dion's The Wanderer, Fist doing this one, the screaming guitars and back patter really add to this. Creaming. The butter churning guitars. I'm making sure, by the way, I want to make sure it's, Dion was the original artist. Can't make that mistake. Last one on my list is kind of a good bookend because it's Hot Lady by Dead Ringer, and that's spelled D-E-D-R-I-N-G-E-R, all one word, Dead Ringer. As much as Twisted Ace is 100% Spinal Tap, these guys are about 80% Spinal Tap. And I have no problem with that whatsoever. The song's got a really good hook, so hey, bring on the Dead Ringer. This lady, she drives me crazy. And that's the end of your list, sadly. That is the end of my list. I was only able to get seven tracks that I enjoyed enough to put on the list. But those seven tracks are going to remain in my library from this point going forward. So
that's good.
Hey. Yeah.
All right. So my first one is a band called Angel Witch. And they did a song called Angel Witch.
Yes.
And the reason I like this one so much is because the guitar player is really, really, really good. Although the lyrics are kind of silly, I found myself singing along, which makes me, I don't know if it makes it a cool song or makes me an idiot.
No, it's a cool song. I'll give you that. I do like this one as well.
So it was one of those things where I'm like, why am I singing along? This is the silliest thing I've ever sung. And then I kept doing it.
She's an angel witch.
Yeah. And then I picked Out on the Streets by Nightwing. This has a great intro. I love the bass. I've been a fan of these guys for a long time, like I said. So this was kind of a given for me to pick one of these and stick them on there. And so I just picked one of the ones that stuck out to me, and that's what I did. I I picked Let It Loose by Savage. Metallica has covered this song early in their career, and just by listening to this, you can hear how Savage influenced them and how it became kind of a key element of their sound going forward. I picked Crazy World by Raven. Like I've said earlier, the look of Raven always kind of threw me. I don't know what that one guy's doing, but he always is wearing a helmet with a cage.
He came right from practice.
Yeah. I love this song, and it's just a fun. Raven's one of those bands that I've always enjoyed, and I've always kind of kept it quiet that I've liked Raven because they're kind of one of those Spinal Tappy punchline-y bands sometimes when you talk about old metal, but I like them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at photos of them right now.
Am I wrong?
I don't know.
Like a homeless lacrosse player?
He does. And what's, it's funny because the three guys, they have the younger pictures of them in the band Raven, and he's, you know, like wearing the like a lacrosse. It is. It's like a mesh lacrosse outfit. But then you've got the photos of them now, and you long for the days of having a metal lacrosse mask over. Now, you know what? If I could play guitar or play an instrument like these guys can, then I'd give my left foot for that.
The funny thing is, because in some bars in the United States, the band's actually play behind a chain link fence. With mm-hmm. him, he always had his fence with him.
He brought the fence.
Yeah.
Boy, you don't want to be taking a beer bottle to the face, though.
Number five for me is Witchfinder General, singing Witchfinder General.
There are a lot of these, yeah.
Where they sing about themselves, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah. And
as I'm saying that, I realize you have it in your notes. I'm like, oh, I better let him talk about it.
Band sang all songs about themselves. I was early in on these guys because I was a teenage boy, and they had full-on nudity on their album covers.
Nice.
Luckily, I like the music too. So I bought the vinyl of these when I was a kid, and then I've purchased the CDs of them since because I really do like Witchfinder General. There's something silly and kind of cool, and the music is actually pretty good considering what it is. So
yeah,
I've really enjoyed them.
Just looking through the list, Cloven Hoof, Blitzkrieg, both have songs named after themselves. Of course, Angel Witch, we talked about.
Witchfinder General.
Witchfinder General, yeah. That's great.
Number six for me is Rich City Kids from the band Praying Mantis. Kind of a rarity. These guys use harmonies. It's a little bit more poppy. It's fun, and it's kind of a lighter version of new wave of British heavy metal, and I had to put it in because it was a kind of a different take on the genre from all the others. Number seven is The Prince by Diamond Head. I could have gone for one of the easy ones, but I decided to go for one that's a little more off the beaten path. An early fan of Diamond.
Thanks for not going with Am I Evil?
I couldn't do it. I just couldn't. I after your text, I couldn't, but even before I couldn't do it. I've been a fan of these guys. I'd forgotten about them until after Injustice for All came out. The Japanese release of the disc actually had an extra track of them covering the Prince, and I'd totally forgotten. So after that album came out, I went back, rediscovered Diamond Head, and I've kind of been along for the ride ever since. That's the kind of fan I am with these guys. And it's one of the more aggressive Diamond Head songs. The next one I picked was Killers by Tigers of Pantang. Again, another band I've had a fondness for a long time. One of the better sounding consistently throughout their career. This one, however, the vocals are a little low in the mix, but I still like it. I mean, it is what it is as far as mixing goes. But again, Tigers of Pantang leaning more toward the proggy side of it, and I kind of like them.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Then I picked Samson, Riding with the Angels. Like these guys are right along with Iron Maiden. I mean, his voice even sounds like Bruce Dickinson. Their topics seem very similar. The way the guitars play are very similar. It's like Iron Maiden Jr.
Wonder if the one was an influence on the other.
Maybe. Or maybe they just came from the same neck of the woods and knew each other even. Mm-hmm. The next one I picked was Witching Hour by Venom. Starts off so ominous and builds into this frenetic pace. I feel like Slayer learned a lot from these guys because it's just a similar feel and look and sound and the way they build on songs and then, you know, have these ominous kind of creepy lyrics with it. Also, Venom, their logo is a pentagram with a goat head in it.
Yeah, how can you go wrong?
Yeah.
And there was an American Gladiator in Venom, so there you go.
And there was one called Samson too, wasn't there?
I think, there had to have been, yeah.
And then I picked
the Witchfinder General, though.
No Witchfinder General and no Raven. There was a wrestler named Raven.
I think there was a Raven. Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking of, right? Yeah. Raven the Wrestler. Yep. Teen Titan.
Yeah. And then my last one, I have a bonus, and it's Satan's Fall from Merciful Fate. And I couldn't do a list and leave these guys off the list. They've inspired so many people in modern metal. And especially in that early days of thrash in the mid to late 80s and early 90s. So I couldn't skip them. And so I picked one of their longest tracks. I think it clocks in like over 11 minutes. Deal with that, folks.
Approaching levels of the band that shall not be named.
Yeah, that's true. And I haven't even mentioned them today.
I know. Wow. All right. Let's see if we can get through. We got still a couple minutes left of the show.
I get Metallica out a lot, which is kind of like the runner-up to them.
Well, yeah, that's true. Very good. Good list. And you made up for my lack of having a bunch of stuff on mine by adding a little extra on yours. So perfect. Well done. Well done, sir. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the Nwabum episode of Soundography. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to get in touch with us, please email us, soundographypodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @TheSoundography, and you can visit our website, soundography.com. Make sure to check out our website. We've got every single episode we've ever done of this show on there, and you'll find our playlists on Spotify, links to them right there, as well as links to where you can buy the songs on Amazon. There's a great compilation that I'll link to. I think it's one you sent to me, but it's also one I found on Apple Music that was great. And so check that out. You'll find a link for that. Of course, you can help support the show by becoming a patron on Patreon, patreon.com/soundography. And of course, help other people discover the show. Leave a review telling other people how much you love Soundography. If you don't love it, well, let us know, or don't listen. But we'd much rather have you listen and enjoy it and tell us about it. So listen to, or leave us a review anywhere that you get your podcasts. Next week, this one I'm excited about, man. Well, I'm excited about all these.
De La Soul. You approach some of these with trepidation.
I may have with this one, but I was still excited to try it. It's like, ooh, a crazy weird meal made up of octopus tentacles and applesauce. I can't wait to try it out.
And you can't tell me you approached Mushroom Head completely unworried.
Oh yeah, no, I went in with, you know what? I went in with that wearing full body armor and a lacrosse mask. That's how I approached Mushroom Head. Next week, De La Soul. From what I remember, fun rap, like rap that isn't the what typically comes across as the stereotype, which is the I make so much money, I get all the women. De La Soul seemed to have a weird kind of humorous edge to that.
Is that the Me, Myself, and I guys?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the guys that covered the.
I think I've just exploded my entire knowledge of De La Soul right there.
There you go. Excellent. Well, there's that and so much more. De La Soul coming up on the next episode. Thanks. Well, I guess on behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Ibbett saying we'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.